Okay, this class should be sponsored for the success of Ronit Orlibat Nurit and her family, for my sister, of course, and our family, and for the Sroor family, and everybody in this room. It's pretty incredible that I'm in New York right now. I haven't been here in a couple of months, and I happened to come by this week, went to surprise Sarah at school, and here we are. So first of all, before starting and getting into the topic of tonight, I want to just tell you guys that every girl in this room, of course, I don't know you guys, girls, but you're all extremely special. To be at the age of 15 to 18 and to be organizing Torah classes and to be wanting to come closer to Hashem, I definitely was not doing that at your age. So you should all feel very good about yourselves and to give yourselves really a round of applause. Go ahead. You're going to see that as you get older and you start to really mature more and get closer to Hashem, of course, in your own ways, at your own places, like as the Pasuk says, Baruch Kevod Adonai Mekomo. Especially in Brooklyn, there's a lot of narratives, there's a lot of people placing different labels on you and identities and different things of that nature, but it's very important to remember that you have to come closer to Hashem from exactly where you're at. Not where someone tells you that you think you're at, but where you look into your neshama. It's very easy to do. You just close your eyes and ask yourself how you're feeling, and you go from there. You know, it's a lot better to start keeping Shabbat 10 minutes at a time than to overwhelm yourself, take upon yourself all the mitzvot, and to crash. Because I'd rather you start 10 minutes, you know, light hadlakat nerot, put your phone away, then next week 20, then next week 30, and then 6 months to a year, you're going to be fully Shomer Shabbat. And the beauty about coming closer to Hashem is that there's a midrash that says, Lefum tzara agra, to according to the difficulty is according to the reward. So for example, if let's say one of you girls start keeping Shabbat or start keeping tznut or making bracha, whatever it is, and let's say by next year you're already doing it and it's easy for you, right? Hashem is going to reward you like it was hard for you the first time to do those first 10 minutes. That's the beauty of the relationship with Hashem. Many people like to call Judaism a religion. I like to call it a relationship. My name is Jonathan Ben Shimon, and I approve this message. Because really, in essence, it's all about us. It's about us coming closer to Hashem. It's about us. It's our relationship with Hashem. And it's about us coming closer to Him because we need Him in our life. And that's really why I picked, as you guys can see on your cards, the Pasuk, Hashlecha al Hashem Yavcha V'hu Yechakelecha. What it literally means is that when you feel like you have so many struggles and difficulties and pain and things, you take all that and you throw it on God. You say, Hashem, it's you. You gave me the problem. It's all you for you to take care of it. And it's very practical. I heard that you guys had a Shabbaton last week, right? Yeah. And you guys decided afterwards you wanted to start doing small mitzvot. So really, small mitzvot are big mitzvot. That's why Yaakov Avinu, his name was Yaakov. Why? You think it's kind of funny, no? One of our forefathers is named after the fact that he grabbed the heel of Esav. It's a little bit belittling. Like, why are you naming me heel? Name me something else. Because showing you the importance that Yaakov tried. He tried to come out first. He grabbed the heel of Esav. And according to the Zohar, he actually grabbed all the converts. That through grabbing his heel, he grabbed all the converts. All the people that convert to Judaism. That was what came out of that action. Teaching you a very important lesson. Those things in your life that you think are small efforts, small mitzvah, they're actually big things in the long run. When a person starts making brachot or keeping Shabbat or little efforts of tznut, hi, welcome, we just started. When a person starts coming closer to Hashem in small little, you know, micro efforts, even just according to, there's a rabbi named Victor Miller, used to live in Brooklyn, and he would say, even if you come to this world and you think about who's the creator one time in your life, you're already accomplishing the purpose as to why you came from this world. Baruch Hashem, the girls in this room are on a much higher level, and Bezrat Hashem, we're going to be dancing by all of your weddings in a couple of years from now, and you're all going to be Eshet Chayos, and you're going to really be the strength of the house. They say that a man, you know, if you take a seed and you plant it into the ground, you take one little seed, let's say you eat an apple, you take a seed, you plant it in the ground, the earth nurtures the seed, and out comes of it hundreds of apples. The same thing in life. The woman is the nurturer of the world. A man cannot tap into his potential, he cannot succeed, he cannot go far without a woman. And I'll prove it to you. When the man and the woman are together, the man plants one seed into a woman, you can Google this or ask ChatGPT. The human body has 37.2 trillion cells. One seed, a woman nurtures it, 9 months later, you have a human being. So it's incredible. Without women in the world cannot continue to be. And as girls, obviously I'm not a girl, but I'm just telling you what the Torah says. As a woman, you have to understand that you hold up the world. A man without you cannot succeed. You are the man's foundation. You hold up the world around you. And that's why it's so important as a girl to love yourself and to have compassion with yourself and to have empathy with yourself and to hold space for yourself and to understand that if you're not feeling okay, it's okay not to be okay. And the beauty of coming closer to Hashem, especially like tonight's topic, is that when you throw on Hashem all of your difficulties and burdens, and let's say you have struggles in your family or struggles with your friends or someone said something bad about you, the whole beauty of coming closer to Hashem and learning more about the Torah is that you see that everything in front of you is ultimately a lie. You think, well, someone spoke bad about me, it takes away from my self-esteem, my confidence, my belief in myself, my worth, my validation. When you come closer to Hashem, you see when someone speaks bad about you, it just goes to show that that person's hurt inside. That person's not feeling good about themselves, and they think, well, in order for me to speak negatively about this person, that's going to make me feel better. So it's not fair in a way. And obviously, if you learn Hilchot Lashon Hara, you're going to see that when someone speaks bad about you, you're taking all their mitzvot, and it goes a lot deeper than that. But it's a topic for a different night. It just goes to show that everything in this world around us is really an illusion. Whatever we think is hard or negative, it's an opportunity for growth. Whatever we think is impossible to get through, the most difficult moments in a person's life, and remember this, Mima'amakim k'aticha Hashem, Hashem shima bekoli. From the depths, from the most difficult moments in suffering, we call out to Hashem, and Hashem hears our voice. A proof to it is a couple weeks ago, Agam Berger was a hostage. She got released. You guys know about that? If you look at Agam Berger, what's her name? Agam Berger, Aleph Bet, right? She was released on Parashat Bo, and Bo is Berger Agam. It's Rosh Tevot, her name, and hostages were released a week before her, and it just goes to show she was trapped underground in Hamas tunnels, and from those depths she called out to Hashem, and Hashem designed it in a way where she was going to be released not on Shabbat. And let's actually talk about Shabbat for a second. You guys came on a Shabbaton, came out all inspired, and you decided you want to start coming closer to Hashem. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, "Pitchuli petach shel machad v'yiftechu petach shel pitcho shel olam." Hashem says, "Benot Rachel, open me the opening the size of a needle." You go on the Shabbaton, you hear speeches, you get inspired. But getting inspired is great. Why? Because if you look, let's say you go outside on the street and you're going to see railings on houses, correct? How did those railings get formed and look so nice? Because the welder, he makes the railing very hot, and when the railing is very hot, he's able to form it. If you go now outside to the grate, to the gate, or to the windowsill, whatever, and you try molding something that's already cold, they're going to tell you, buddy, you got to go to a psych ward. You're not able to do that because it's already very cold. Same idea when it comes to religion and when it comes to inspiration. You girls got so inspired after Shabbat that the heart was warm, and now you're like, let's take action. Wednesday night, sure. That's really, it's an incredible thing, and you don't know how amazing that is. On this regular Wednesday night, you could have been home, you could have been out with friends, you could have been doing a multitude of things, and you decided, no, I want to come closer to Hashem. And whatever which way, and Hashem took me from Miami, sunny Miami, and brought me into freezing Brooklyn just to give this class. Believe me, I'd much rather be in Florida right now than to be in Brooklyn, but if I'm here for you guys, then it was well worth it. Before we get deeper into the class, I want to say a joke. This year in Rosh Hashanah, I went to Uman. I was in Ukraine. And obviously now with the war going on, it's very hard to get to Ukraine. You have to fly. I flew to Turkey, not for a hair transplant. I might need one soon. And after Turkey, I went to Moldova. We drove 5 hours. We got to Ukraine. And it was a really nice Rosh Hashanah. And something I learned this year in Uman was that they it was my first time going. I don't recommend any of you to go. It's a very scary trip. But something I learned when I was there is that before every good speech comes a good joke. So I'll tell you a joke. It was once a breast of a chassid. He was going to shul. He's going to shul. He's walking, you know, a couple blocks, whatever it is. He runs into his friend. You know the joke already, right? Yeah. Whoever knows, don't spoil it. He's walking to shul. He bumps into his friend. He goes, "Ah, Yankel, smachsin, geshabes." He comes. He gives him a kiss, and he says, "He smells very good. What'd you do?" He's like aftershave. You know, he's trimming up his beard. He puts on aftershave afterwards. You guys remember this?
Yeah, I know.
I have a different jokes if you want, but it's a good one. Whatever. Shabbat goes by, and it's already funny. Shabbat goes by. He's coming back from shul. He runs into Yankel again. He goes, "Ah, Yankel, v'smachs." He gives him a kiss. He goes, "What's that smell?" He goes, "After Shabbos."
Aftershave, after
class. You get it? A little bit delayed reaction, but it's okay. Look. I know from growing up in Brooklyn myself, and Baruch Hashem, Yetziat Mitzrayim, going to Lech Lecha Me'atzecha, going to Miami, thank God, Baruch Hashem. I know it's very hard here. And to keep it real for a second, I know sometimes there's a lot of bad influence. Yes. Where's Waldo?
Okay.
Hi, what's up? You approve this message? Yeah.
No.
So yeah, so I know obviously growing up here, to keep it real with you guys for a second, it's hard, you know. Sometimes there's bad influence, sometimes there's boys, and it's not some taboo topic. You're a girl, it's normal to feel that way, and there's sometimes people want to make you smoke weed or alcohol or going out to the city, whatever it is. I want to tell you from a very, very personal perspective. What's up? this is amazing. It's incredible.
Might be school.
Well, yeah, that's the point. So yeah, so sometimes it's bad influences. Now I wanna go into like a deep psychology for a second. You know, I spent 3 years in Israel learning in different yeshivot, and when I was in Aish, there was a rabbi named Rav Gav. He told me something very powerful. He said that every decision you make in life, you're either going towards gain or escaping pain. Every moment in life, you have a choice to make. And psychologists actually did a study that a person has about 10,000 decisions to make every single day. Now, of course, no one's expecting you to be perfect. But you have to understand, those weak moments when you want to go with the guy, or you want to smoke, or you want to drink, or you want to run away from the pain that you're feeling right now. And the reason why I say run away is because it's not always the best choice to make. And I'm not judging anybody if you are involved in those things. It's obviously a process, and even when you're involved with not always the right things to do that are not the best for you, for the person you want to become, because in life you're either making decisions for the short term, like for what's going to make me feel good right now, but really the best way for a person to build their self-esteem, to build their image of themselves, is to make decisions for the long-term person you want to be. So it's the short-term pleasure, which is the escape, nullifying the feeling, or you can say, you know what, let me hold off on this now and feel good better. Typical example is going on a diet. Let's say a person wants to lose weight. Right now in front of you, you could eat the food that's not healthy for you. You know it's not gonna, you know it's gonna make you feel good in the moment right now because you have a whole history of eating not healthy. That's what got you to the place where you are now. Or you can hold back and hold back and hold back, and eventually after a couple of weeks and months, you're gonna lose weight. Then you're gonna feel really good. It's almost, think about it like this. The escape brings you to a big, big high. Why? Because you're stealing, according to the Baba Sali, you're stealing a pleasure from the future and taking it for right now. So it brings you up to this high, but the problem is you collapse right afterwards. After a person smokes, when it comes down, they feel horrible. A person drinks, you come down, you have a hangover the next day. If you do something inappropriate with the other gender, it feels good in the moment, but the second it's over, you want to do it again, and you just fall into a downward spiral of just running after the wrong things. And again, not judging anybody in this room. I understand I was there, but it's just to speak real for a second, because that's really the test of the generation. We're a sensitive generation. We need love. We need words of encouragement. And actually, interestingly enough, according to the Chafetz Chaim in Sefer Shmirat HaLashon, it says that a whole person's image of themselves is malleable to how people speak to them. In a slower, more relaxed way, the way you feel about yourself is the way people speak to you. And that's why if a person in their life has nobody speaking nicely to them, newsflash, you can speak nicely to yourself. That's why I love Sefer Tehillim, as you see here. Tehillim is written by David HaMelech, right? David HaMelech, to those of you who may or may not know, is a Gemini, like myself. That's why it's so emotional. And everybody can open Tehillim in English or, I don't know, Arabic, and can relate to what's going on here. Because truly what's written inside here, everybody goes through. David HaMelech was chased, his parents abandoned him, they thought he was a mamzer. He went through every single difficulty in your life that you could imagine. And what did he do every time he had this pain, this sting, this feeling of like emptiness, I'm alone in this world, no one's there for me, no one cares about me? He gave it up to Hashem. And that's the topic of tonight's class. Hashlech al Hashem yavcha v'hu yechalkelecha. Throw on Hashem your burden and he will pick you up. And I'll explain it to you with a story to better understand. There was once a person, we'll call him Shimon, who passed away. As we all know, when you pass away, you go to the world of the truth, Olam Haba, as they like to call it. When he passed away, there was an angel that came to him. Everyone following? Am I talking too fast?
No, we're good.
If anyone has questions in the middle, by the way, you can interject, you can embarrass me. I approve this message. I'm encouraging difficult questions. And we can keep it real if you want to pause the recording, whatever it is. It's really for Hashem and for you guys, so just want to keep that in mind. There's also another verse just to prove it. It says, "Dvarim she'otzim min halev nichnasim halev." Things that come out of the heart, they penetrate another person's heart. That's why it's actually, just to give a quick tip about dating, when you're going to date one day, it's so important to come on the date and to be yourself. Is it too early to talk about dating?
No.
Okay, obviously.
We have seniors.
seniors. I'll give you a quick dating tip. "Dvarim she'otzim min halev nichnasim halev," right? Things that come out of the heart penetrate another person's heart. Especially in Brooklyn, there's a lot of, I don't know, identities going around. You can't come on a date as a shell of yourself and expect to make a connection. You have to come as your raw, vulnerable self let's say, my name is Jonathan, I approve this message. You have to come as yourself, and if that person doesn't like you as you are, then that's not someone you want to spend the rest of your life with. Because when you're looking to get married, you're looking for a best friend. You're looking for a companion. You're looking for someone that you could wake up one day and say, you know, honey, my back's hurting. I don't feel like I want to go to work today. Yeah?
But like, I feel like no one does it. Like, no one's just going to come as their self. Like, if someone's laughing 24-7, they're not just going to be laughing 24-7 with their boyfriend. Like, no one's going to do that first date.
Well, obviously.
No one can eat, like, a pig, like. Yeah. It's a restaurant.
Well, that's just bad me, though. What are you saying?
Like, I don't, because you're saying, like, you should go as your true self. But it's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, if I was going as my true self, yeah, you're going to sweat set. I'm just going to hoodie and sweats as my first date.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, this is good.
Better for the first date. Like, it's the same thing. Like,
hard. You probably misunderstood what I said. Of course, you want to come. Of course, you want to come and you want to make a good impression. You're not going to come in the hoodie and sweats because then they're just going to think you're a slob, right? Yeah. There's obviously certain decency and respect and to be a classy person. What I meant when I say to be yourself, I mean to come and to speak your truth, to be who you are. If you have certain passions or interests, you may be embarrassed to share with the other person. There's certain things about yourself that you keep to yourself. You want to share that with the other person because you want to feel like when you're married, if you wake up in the morning one day and you're not feeling it, you want to be able to tell that person, you know, honey, I woke up and my back's hurting. I don't want to go to work. Or maybe your back's not hurting. I just don't want to go to work because life is filled with ups and downs. And when you're living with another person until 120, Bezrat Hashem, you want to be raw with that person, to be honest with that person. Many times people get into marriages and after the wedding's over and the show is over, then the real person comes out and they realize like, wait, we're not even compatible to begin with because the whole date, because dating is, you know, your dating is very perfect. It's I'm coming, I'm taking you to a restaurant, I'm dressing up as my best self. And of course, when you get to the marriage point, that's when really things really start to come out. So what I meant when I was saying that is to really come and to be yourself. And sometimes it's okay to say, you know, I had a hard day today and to talk about it with the person that you're going out with. That's really the purpose of it all, to really come as you and to make a connection and to hopefully find your best friend. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, because we're looking to make a connection. You guys are obviously all friends. I'm sure some of you, my sister's best friend is sitting right next to her. And I'm sure you guys could say the same way in your friendship, right? You have ups and downs. You share the raw truth with each other. Mm-hmm. Same thing's going to be with your husband. And believe me, it's gonna be a lot of ups and downs, and that's really life. And the good news is, if you go to a hospital and someone is terminally ill, terminally sick, you're gonna look at the monitor and it's going up and down, right? What's bad news? Flat. That's bad news. So as long as there's difficulties in your life, it's a very good sign. So, does it make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you really want to come and be your raw, true, genuine self. What's your name?
Ivana.
So. So when you're going to date, Bezrat Hashem, to find your other half, and hopefully it should be easy and smooth, you want to really come and say, hi, my name is Ivana, and I like to do A, B, and C, and this is my life. And it's more so having confidence in yourself and respect for yourself to be able to share who you are with that person. I'm not saying to come and to show the worst parts about yourself. Obviously, of course, it's a whole package, and it comes out slowly as you date the person. And I'm not saying to also come in the first date and to show all the bad points because then the person's going to run away. But it's more so to come into it slow. But at the same time, don't think to yourself twice, should I share this, should I not? Mm-hmm. It's more so this is me and I accept me. And the question is, who's going to want to accept me and build a life with me? And the same thing with the guy. Because it's very hard to build a connection on layers because you're not really making the connection. It's like I'm trying to get to know you, but like on shells of you because you're not saying the full complete truth about who you are. More so when you come and you're yourself and you're just raw, it allows for complete connection, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that's really I don't even know how we got into that, but that's really a tip about dating. It's so important just in general to be yourself and to accept yourself, not just in dating. Of course, dating is when you're prepared for it and after you feel like you're ready to start dating and looking to get married, etc. But dating starts now. That's why in the order of the Gemarot, Masechet Gittin, which is getting divorced, comes before Kiddushin. So this is like a funny question. Why is God teaching me how to get out before I get in? He's teaching me how to get divorced before I get into a marriage. Teaching you a very important lesson. A person, before they get into a marriage, you have to divorce yourself before you marry another person. In a very simple way to understand, the word for love in Hebrew is Ahava, right? In the middle of the word Ahava is Hav. Hav means to give. So when you come to another person and you give unconditionally yourself, and that person gives unconditionally to you, because we're all really selfish if you think about it. We're all thinking about ourselves, my career, my job, my life, etc. But when it comes to marriage, it's all about the other person. And that's why you wanna be with a person that you love and you care about, and that's your best friend, because when you have that situation going on, it becomes effortless. It's effortless to come and to show up for your spouse when you really love and care about them and understand them and know where they're coming from. And you know, even when they make a mistake or when you argue with them, it's not coming from a bad place. That's why it's so important to make the connection and to build a healthy relationship. And the very big part of doing that, of course, is dating in a healthy way with boundaries and not spending, you know, staying up till 5 a.m. with the other person and trying and being shomer negiyah to the best of your abilities. And just all these things are so important because you want to really keep the focus on what are we here to do? Are we here to have fun and to escape the moment, or are we here to get married and build a beautiful, meaningful life together? Everything makes sense so far? So we'll go back to the story of the man that passed away, Miskan Hazit, right? Brooklyn. So there's a person named Shimon that passed away, and he comes and the Malach is trying to show him a video of his life, and he sees like from the beginning of his life when he was born, he's looking forward and he sees two sets of footprints, and Shimon asked the Malach, why is there two sets of footprints here? Hi. And no, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, behind me, whatever. So he sees two sets of footprints and he asks the angel, what are these two sets of footprints? He says, one set of footprints is yours and the other set of footprints is Hashem. Showing you that throughout a person's life, Hashem is really holding your hand and going with you throughout your life, if that makes sense. So he's following the set of footprints. He sees when he was born, his Brit Milah. He sees his Bar Mitzvah day. He sees when he started dating and he met his wife and his wedding day. And then he starts to come to that very, very difficult time period of his life where Lo Alenu, his mother, got sick. And he got into a massive problem with his wife where she was pregnant and lost a child. And he starts to see that in his 30s, when he had a really, really difficult couple of years, they call it nowadays a midlife crisis, he started to see that there was only one set of footprints. And he asked the Malach, what's going on here? He says, wait, let's get to the end. And he sees that times got better again, two sets of footprints again, times got hard again, father passed away, one set of footprints. And they finally, long story short, get to the end of his life. He looks back and says, why were there sometimes two sets of footprints and then there was one set of footprints? What's going on here? Malach tells him something very powerful. When you were going through your life and there were moments where you really felt like you don't have any energy left in you, you felt drained, you felt pushed aside from society and everything was just overwhelming you and you had no energy to move, to breathe, to get up in the morning. You felt like you were choking, you had no energy left. What happened? Hashem picked you up, put you on his back and took you forward. And that's really what this pasuk means. Hashlech al Hashem yavcha, luyecha kelecha. When a person feels overwhelmed by what's going on in their life and they feel like they have no energy to keep going another step even, what happens? Throw it on Hashem. And if you throw it on Hashem, he's going to pick you up and he's going to keep you moving. And that's the ultimate trial and tribulation of Emunah and Bitachon. Emunah and Bitachon doesn't mean something where it's like, oh, I'm going to trust Hashem and my life's going to be perfect. No, the opposite. You're going to trust Hashem and your life's going to start to get really hard. Because Hashem wants to test you. He wants to see, do you really, really trust me? Do you really, really want this relationship with me? Or are you just in it for yourself? And he's going to test you every single moment of the day. And to talk about family for a second, the family that you're in, by the way, is the family that you chose. And the Rambam says that a person's chesed is measured, talking about chesed, right? A person's chesed is measured by their family. It's very easy to go onto the street and to do chesed for random people, but the hardest is our family, our brothers, our sisters that make us crazy, and our parents. Because that's the family that we chose, and that's the best situation for us to grow and to become the best versions of ourselves possible. To look into, when our parents yell at us, to say, Ima, scream louder, I love it. And when things are so hard with your parents, to put yourself aside and to come, to give them a hug, to always resort back to peace. And the same thing with your siblings, yes.
I just have a question, like, what does that mean, like, you chose your parents? Like, or your family, you saw exactly what was going to happen and you chose to be in that, or you chose how they look, like what is it?
It means that before a soul comes into this world, obviously we're I'm pretty sure that we're all reincarnations, right? We're coming from, we had a life before and we had things we had to fix. So before we come into this world, God takes the soul that you are, the person that you were, right? The whole complete soul, and this soul has a tikkun. The purpose of this world, this is not the final destination. The purpose of this world is to come and to fix as much as we can. So before we come into the world, God gives you an array of options and says, you want to be Ben Shimol, you want to be Srur, you want to be, let's say, I don't know, Luz, Tawel, Satan. Which family do you want to pick? So you look at every single one and you pick the best situation for you to become the best version of yourself.
So we know, like, we're going to get through it, basically?
100%. If you didn't know, you wouldn't have picked this life. That's why when things look so hard, it's almost ironic because you chose this, so obviously you can go through it. That's why it says all over the Gemara that when a person has a difficulty in their life, it says, God doesn't give a person a test that he cannot overcome. And it's ironic because you kind of chose this life to begin with, so just muster up, grab the courage, and keep pushing forward. Make sense?
Yeah.
And it's very interesting, actually, because if you look in Masechet Gittin, there's a story of Titus. Anybody ever heard of Titus before? He was an emperor. He destroyed the second Beit HaMikdash. And he passed away with the mosquito in his head, the whole story. So Titus, his nephew was Unkelus, right? If you ever open up a Chumash, you see Rashi and Unkelus. Unkelus was one of the most famous commentators of all time. So Unkelus was a convert, interestingly enough. And before Unkelus converted to Judaism, I don't know how they did it back then, I wasn't there, but he brought down the soul of Titus and he asked him, is this the right religion for me to convert to, Judaism? Because when a person passes away, they're in the world of the truth. Like you say every day, right? Everything is revealed, everything is open because now we're in the Olam HaEmet. And so Unkelus brings down the soul of Titus and he asked him, you know, is this the right religion for me to convert to? And crazy, it says in the Gemara, literally, I'll show you if you have one here. Titus says, no, don't do it. And the famous question, why? How is that possible? You're in the world of the truth. You see it all revealed in front of you. Hashem, how is it possible? It says, because if a person passes away with, I don't want to use a strong word. If a person passes away with not the best midot, you leave the world with those midot. Because now you're in this world, you could fix it. Your midot are malleable. They could change. You could work on yourself. You can overcome your anger, stinginess, pride, ego, etc. But when you pass away, no more. You can't do it. Titus, he thought he was so big and strong and mighty. And what happened? God took a little mosquito, put it in his brain, the mosquito ate away at his brain, and eventually he passed away. So as big as he thought he was, God took the smallest thing to take him down. Ironic. And in the end, when Unkelus brought down the soul of his uncle, he still told him, don't do this, don't convert to this religion, showing you that if you pass away with these Ra and Midot, they're going to stay with you. That's why Midot is the number one thing a person has to work on. It's a real test of your life. And that's why Rav Yisrael Salanter says, to overcome one bad character trait, it's harder than to finish learning all of Shas. Showing you that these Midot we have, they're very hard to overcome. But it goes deeper than that, actually. It says in the Zohar that when a person is experiencing what we like to call nowadays depression, not taking away from people who are actually clinically depressed and medication, etc. My heart's with you. And therapy is a very good option. But sometimes we just like to be dramatic and over-exaggerate things. And when a person's experiencing what we like to label nowadays as depression, which is that darkness inside of us, the Zohar actually writes it as you just feel far away from Hashem. Meaning, we're not reacting properly to how we're feeling. When a person gives the right meaning to how they're feeling, they're going to hence feel the proper feeling. Should I say that again?
Yeah.
As you said before, that a person can overcome any situation they're in.
Mm-hmm.
But then let's say like depression or anxiety or any like mental like disorder, like really like an inner disorder, then they can't really overcome it. Then it's a test that they can't really fight.
Rav Nachman writes that sometimes when a person falls, they're meant to fall. Yirida Tzorach Aliyah. So sometimes when a person falls, and it can even be falls for years and they're struggling with these things, they're actually meant to be there to learn something. Because the most difficult things in our life suck the potential out of us and make us the person that we're meant to become.
Yeah,
fair?
Yeah.
It's if not, tell me.
I don't know. I don't get.
What were you hitting at? Trying to hit at?
Because then it's still a test that they're not overcoming.
Not as long as you're in this world, breathing, pushing forward, you're overcoming. Overcoming doesn't mean all glee and perfect. Overcoming means that you want to, let's say if a person is suicidal, they want to end their life, but they choose not to. That's overcoming. Overcoming is where you're at and pushing forward from where you're at and trying to get better. It's about your efforts. Hashem doesn't want you to be all perfect and dandy and everything's great. Obviously, of course, we have high aspirations. We have goals. We want to be successful in our lives. But just the fact that the person is pushing forward and trying to be positive and trying to be more social and trying to get a job and to work and to have a good life and to be a better person, that's already them overcoming their test.
Thank you.
If it doesn't answer, we'll keep trying. Huh? Is it okay? If not, it's okay. Tell me. I want you to feel good about the answer. I'm trying. So it really just goes to show, like many times you think that things have to be a certain way, but I'm coming to tell you, my name is Jonathan Ben Shmuel, I don't approve that message. If a person's really, really trying hard and trying to overcome something and fighting with their Yetzer Hara, then that is the whole test. It's because it's very tricky sometimes, but I think I need to be here. No, you're exactly where you have to be. Take a deep breath, relax, let go, let Hashem, everything is good. So what were we saying? Oh, so midot. So interestingly enough, psychologically, what a person's experiencing is actually what their soul is going through. So when a person feels a lot of this sadness and all this darkness inside of them, really, Hashem is saying, get closer to me. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Kirvat Elohim Li Tov. For me to be close to Hashem, that's good for my neshama. How good did you guys feel after this past Shabbat? How good did you feel with the inspiration? You came out of Shabbat feeling alive. Why? Because freedom is not financial. Freedom is not circumstantial. Freedom equals freedom from the Yetzer Hara. And this past Shabbat, you had an amazing Shabbaton. I wasn't there, obviously, but you had amazing speakers from what I heard. Amazing Shabbat food. Singing? Was there singing?
Yeah.
Half DJ, half not. Whatever.
No, we just left. But like in the end, there was like a kumzitz.
Was the kumzitz nice?
Yeah.
Were the speeches nice?
Yeah.
Was the Shabbat great?
Yeah.
How did you feel? Like $1 million? You know why you felt so good? Because you finally took off all the masks of society and you were your true self. That way you felt, newsflash, I approve this message. You could feel that way every single day, 24/7. How? By getting close to Hashem. Because that Shabbat burned your Yetzer Hara, burned everything bad that you had in your mind before that. Because remember, when a person's coming to grow and get closer to Hashem, you have to remember a very, very important rule. You can't come to God and to say, well, but I know that it's this way. And I'll explain to you with a story. I forgot his name. The Al-Sheikh from Sfat, he once gave a shiur on Shabbat morning. And there was a whole room of, you know, yeshiva bachers, ateret, black cat, the whole nine yards. And there was a simple wagon driver sitting in bashing. I don't live here anymore. I can do whatever I want. So there was a simple wagon driver in the room. And this simple wagon driver, he hears the speech and he gets all inspired. He's like, you know what? I'm dropping my business. I'm going to read Tehillim all day long. He drops his business. He reads Tehillim all day long. A couple of weeks go by. He comes upon a massive fortune of money. And the Al-Sheikh students come to him. You know, yeshiva guys and learning all day and whatever people think is perfect. And they say, but we're learning all day. And why? And we have emunah and bitachon. Why is this not happening to us? The Al-Sheikh gave a very powerful answer that's very applicable to all of our lives. You guys are learning and it's amazing. Limud Torah keneged kulam. We're not taking away from people sitting and learning in yeshiva. They're the life force of what's keeping this world going. But that's what we're doing tonight too, by the way. This learning that we're doing, this is the life force of the world and of our soul. It's the food of a person's soul. But the wagon driver, he did a very simple calculation. He heard the speech. He just accepted God and he kept moving. And Hashem said, okay, very simple. So this is a good business partner for me. I'm going to make him rich. Sometimes we fight with the truth. Sometimes we fight with God's will. Sometimes we fight with what's really meant to happen and what's really not meant to happen. And we make life harder for ourselves. When Hashem is saying, no, make it simple, my son or my daughter. I love you. I want to give you a great life. Make it easy for me. But what do? We fight with the will. We go back and head in our minds. But should I do it? Should I not? But I want it to be this way. But it's coming out that way. Accept Hashem's will and see that everything in your life is just going to play out naturally. Instead of trying to chase things away, become a magnet and let things come to you. And things will come to you. Believe me, I'm talking to you from my personal experience. Money will come to you. Dating will come to you. Everything that you're looking for outside, do the inner work and it's going to come to you naturally. Because anybody who ever tells you in Judaism, there's such a thing called attracting a soulmate, attracting wealth. It's a very big myth. They don't know what they're talking about. But they mean well. In Judaism, it's allowing. Because you have a soul and this soul has a certain amount of capacity inside. So meaning, if Hashem wants to give you so much good, but you're blocking the lid by being a victim, by choosing to stay in bed all day, by choosing to wake up late and neglect society and escaping from everything, how can God give you good? Instead, embrace life. Say, find the good points in your life, find the good points in yourself, love yourself, and you're going to start to see the more that you take off the cap, God can give you more because you can handle it. The second the person starts coming closer to Hashem and becoming happy and doing the right and making the right choices and thinking about the person they want to become, you guys are at such a powerful point in your life. You're so young and so much potential in front of you. Take advantage of the time. Take advantage of the fact that you're 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're so young and you're on the right track and you're doing the right thing. This is the time for you girls to become great, to be friends with each other, not to have drama. I don't care about what everybody else is doing in Brooklyn. Don't have Lashon Hara between you guys. It hurts. It's simply just not nice. It's not nice. It hurts. Doesn't make anyone feel good. If you have a girl in your class that maybe someone's not friends with, go take that girl and say, hey, come with us. You know, come with us for lunch. Don't have cool girls and not so cool and groups and distance. No. We're going through enough in the world today. The state of Israel is going through enough. The Jewish people are going through enough. We're going through enough. Literally, the only good news in the past 4 years is that we have a president that can get out a sentence without stuttering. We have to be there for each other. Take your whole school, your whole class, go become a light in Brooklyn. Say, you know what? B'nai Rachel is going to become the most positive, inspirational school, and you're going to start to see that it's going to open up doors for you girls. You're going to start to organize classes. And God willing, I hope this is the beginning of many, many beautiful classes for the months and years to come. This house should be filled to the brim with not even space to sit down. And you're going to start to see the more that you take away the negative voice and focus on what's actually important in life, which is what you girls are doing now by organizing Torah classes and being nice to each other and having achdut and unity. You're going to start to see doors are going to open up for you. And I'll prove it to you. There's one pasuk that explains all the difficulties that are happening in the world today. It says, "Bechinam nimkartem velo bekesef tigaelu." It says for free, right? Bechinam means free. Nimkartem, you sold yourself. Velo bekesef, and not money is going to redeem you. Meaning, money is not going to be able to solve your problems. And I'll explain. Chinam is sinat chinam. For baseless hatred, for finding the bad points in someone else, for no good reason, literally no good reason, you're selling yourself to the Satan. And to any of you who don't know what the Satan is, I know it's a very strong, you know, kind of scary word. It's very simple. God made the evil inclination, He made the good one. It's the good voice and the bad voice. Very simple to understand. And the whole purpose of this, by the way, is for a person to be able to grow. Because imagine I gave you a job and I told you, you know what, Sarah, sit in this room. I'm going to give you $1 million a day. What's the job? What's the job details? Job description, just do nothing. Eventually, oh man, after a week, two, three, I hope not. After a couple months of doing this job, you're going to tell the boss, can I do something? Can I organize papers? Can I sweep the floor? Can I clean the walls? Something? No, sit and do nothing. The money's good, but you're going to start to go crazy because you're not working for your money. Same thing in life. The whole reason why life is so hard is because God is saying, I want you to work for it and to earn it. So back to the topic. For baseless hatred, for finding the bad points in your friends and making creating distance and bad vibes and gossip, you sold yourself. And kesef is compared to mitzvot. Doing mitzvot is not going to save you. That's why you can see, especially in this town, unfortunately, you can see very, very firm people. Looks on the outside, they're doing everything right, but they're not happy. They're in fact miserable. Why? Because they're not loving each other. They're not loving each other unconditionally. One of the most beautiful things I saw when I went to Uman this year is you see guys from Israel with tattoos. You see religious people. You see everything. And everyone's there for one purpose: to serve Hashem. Why don't we have that in New York or in Miami or anywhere in the world? Why don't we have this understanding that we're all in this world for one purpose? To do what? To love, to do good, to love, to be loved, to serve Hashem. So why are we hating each other so much? What's the trick? That same chinam, and this is, by the way, very big connection to October 7. You saw how before in Israel it was so divided and the whole government, the left and the right, and everybody was going crazy. What happened after October 7? Achdut. People started coming together and loving each other. Same thing with this. You go back to that same chinam, which is sinat chinam, and you change it to ahavat chinam. That's what's going to redeem us. The same thing, that the same division we have between us, we have to take that same division and that intensity and that heaviness and to flip it to love. Why do I love you? No good reason. Why am I nice to you? Just because. The Chafetz Chaim writes that a person's smile is not even theirs. Hashem gave it to you. So you have no reason to walk around with the frown all day. If God gave you a beautiful smile, a beautiful personality, a beautiful passions and interests and hobbies, it's for you to really excel and to grow and to become the best you. And that's really the whole purpose of this world. I remember we were talking about something else. Can anyone remind me? Backtrack.
Traits.
Yeah, so just to talk about character traits. Oh, so Kirvat Elohim Litov. To get closer to Hashem is good for my neshama. So nowadays, it's very easy to react to things. Something bad happens in your life, light the J, alcohol, TikTok, I don't know, social media, run away quickly. Why? because we want to ease the pain. But what's the proper way for a Jew? I'm not judging, by the way. Keep doing it. You know, I'm saying, not keep doing it, but I'm saying, be yourself. Grow from where you're at. No one's expecting a perfect product to happen overnight. Hashem doesn't expect you to be perfect, but rather, the whole purpose of this class is to make you aware of your actions. Next time you're going to do it, you might think twice. And even if you think twice and you still do it, it's already a huge thing. I have a very good story to tell you girls, but let's finish with this point. Next time something difficult happens in your life, I want everyone to try this. We were talking, Sarah was telling me before the class that everyone wants to take upon themselves a small mitzvah. Now, of course, all you girls could pick a small mitzvah you want to pick. Birkat HaMazon, maybe Shachrit, maybe Modani, Netzat Yadayim, Asher Yatzar, all beautiful things. But I want to give you a suggestion, recommendation. I approve this message. Next time something difficult happens to you, you're not feeling so good inside, instead of reacting the way you've been reacting by opening the phone and scrolling, try opening up a book of Tehillim and reading for 5 minutes, preferably in English. Can we try that? Or maybe try talking to Hashem. Hidboredut. You know, sometimes reading words we don't understand is difficult for us, but the most powerful form of prayer is prayer in our own words.
What's Hidboredut?
Hidboredut is, it comes from the word boded, being alone. The person goes into their room or goes on the walk and you just talk to Hashem. Tell him how you're feeling. Hashem, I'm so upset. I came home. I wanted dinner to be ready. It wasn't ready. My mom's yelling at me. I failed a test in school. What is, talk to Hashem. He gave you the problem. Hashem gave you the problem. What are you doing trying to solve it? Give it back to Him. He's the source of where the problem came from. Why does God give you a difficulty? Because He wants to hear your voice. Many times nowadays, we don't believe in ourselves because we're like, well, what's so special about me? Silly, snap out of it. God put you in this world for a reason and your life is hard because Hashem wants to hear your voice. There's a story in Bnei Brak. Pay attention to the story I'm about to tell you, because if you really cling on to the lesson and mold it into your psyche, this is how a Jew should look at the world. There's a story in Bnei Brak with Rav Steinemann, and there was a guy who was off the derech. Call him Jake, Yaakov, Shmuel, whatever. Jake was off the derech, and he comes home. He grew up in Bnei Brak in a very firm environment, and he comes back for a Shabbat, and his father tells him there's an oneg a couple blocks away with Rav Steinemann. And Jake, he wasn't so religious, he wasn't so involved. He drives on Shabbat. He's like, you know what, Rav Steinemann, I remember him. I want to come to the oneg Shabbat. Now a little backstory on Jake. When Jake was in cheder, one of the rebbes that would teach him in the schedule was Rav Steinemann. And Rav Steinemann, one day, all the boys are sitting in the class, and he goes up to every single guy and he asks him a question. If the guy gets the question, he gives him a candy. Let's say 30 kids in the class, he goes up to every single kid, asks him a question, gives him the candy. All the kids got all the answers right. Finally, he finishes all the children. He comes to the last student, Jake. He asks him the question, he doesn't know the answer. He asks him the question again, doesn't know the answer. Should I stop it? He asked them another question. They said it on Shabbat.
Yeah.
Oh, Ashgacha Pratit, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think it was. Like,
yeah, I wasn't. That's incredible. I heard it in Florida, so awesome. Anyways, he asked him the third question. Doesn't know the answer, and in the end, he decided to give him three candies. Why? Because he said, "I put you to the test three times. You were schwitzing. You were sweating. You were trying to get the answer. I put you under pressure. You tried." Three candies for you. And Jake remembered this story when he was a kid, and that's why he had a more comfortable feeling to go to the oneg, because he remembered how good he felt. People don't remember what you tell them. They remember how you made them feel. Remember that one. Yeah? You approve this message? You approve this message? Ima approves the message. Chazak v'baruch. Wait, which part? People don't remember what you tell them. They remember how you made them feel. Like if you look back
at it. Same thing though, no? Let's say you said something mean to someone, they remember what you said, and they remember how you made them feel.
We don't always remember what they say, but we remember the icky feeling that they made us feel.
And exactly what they said. If it was something really mean and sat there. Like if someone called me ugly, I'd be like, you just called me ugly.
No, if a teacher said something to you, let's say. You won't remember exactly what she said, but you'll remember she was embarrassed.
It can even be a place, by the way. There could be a certain block that you just don't like and you won't even know why. Subconsciously, it might be because someone made you feel really bad on that block a couple years ago. You just don't remember. We have certain associations with different things. You know, there are certain neural pathways in our brain that open up, and sometimes we can even forget completely what happened, but our brain remembers it because the brain's very aware and paying attention to everything going on, and it'll remember the association of the bad feeling because probably something negative happened there. Anyways, so Jake goes to this oneg and got it. Yeah, we're good. Do we want to break? Time out. Halftime show. No. So Jake goes to the oneg and Rav Steinemann's there and he finishes the oneg and Rav Steinemann recognizes him. He calls him over. He says, "Wow, it's so good to see you. You grew up. It's been so many years. What's going on with you nowadays?" And Jake says, "You know, unfortunately, I went off to Derech. I drive on Shabbat now. I have an apartment in Tel Aviv, Al Dizengoff, and that's my life now." Rav Steinemann says, "How long have you not been Shomer Shabbat for?" He thinks, ponders, maybe 4 or 5 years now. Shaneman says, "In the past 4 or 5 years, how many times did you think about keeping Shabbat? Think about it, not keeping, just thinking about being a little bit better." He says, "Maybe 4 times. How long each of those 4 times, how long did you think about it?" "Maybe 10 minutes. He says, "You're on a higher level than everybody in Bnei Brak." "What?" "The makom shebaal tshuva omdim enat tzadikim gemorim yochlim la'amod." In the place where a baal tshuva stands, a righteous person, aka from birth, cannot stand. Because when you... The mere fact that this Jake, it was hard for him, but he thought about being better, in Hashem's eyes, it's already huge. Now, of course, Hashem has high expectations of us. He wants us to get to that place. But even when a person is really, really buried in their life and they're in the suffering, they're in the shtus, and they still think about being better, it's already a massive, massive sign of, it's already a massive increment towards growth. It just goes to show, what's the lesson of the story? A person should not be so hard on themselves. If you're thinking about being better, and I can imagine all you girls think about being better every second of the day, and you're such pure, holy neshamot, who I'm sure are gonna. I have no doubt in my mind, every girl in this room is gonna marry an amazing guy and have a beautiful life and bring many children to this world, and you're gonna start the beginning of a foundation of righteous tzaddikim for generations to come. Tzaddikim and tzaddikot. I have no doubt in my mind. But just remember that every thought of becoming better than you are today, and doesn't mean that you're bad today, but just the thought of being better than you are now, it's already massive in Hashem's eyes, and Hashem's giving you hugs and kisses. And we just really have to feel the hugs and kisses. We have to appreciate the person, the people that we are, to appreciate our efforts, not to think, "Well, I'm already doing so much, what more can I do?" Take a step back, say, "Look how far you came. You know, look how far you came, girl. You're keeping Shabbat. You're making organizing events, hafrasha chalot, reading Tehillim, doing so well in your life. Appreciate that. That's huge. Where were you a year ago?"
Our teachers were telling us actually all week, like, don't jump into it. At least like it's good that you even feel this way, that you guys want to do it. Like
100%. Anybody have any thoughts, questions, answers? So really, I think the real piece I want you guys to leave with today is that in the future, when difficulties arise, react the proper way. Because being a Jew, you know, Hashem is fatay tiftach, fi yagid tilatecha, right? We say it every single day in the Amidah. I actually have a very powerful piece about prayer I want to share with you girls. But let's just finish this thought. Whenever a person is going through a difficulty, react the proper way. Because being a Jew, You have the ability to procreate. The first mitzvah that Hashem gave to mankind was pru revu and lemalot et ha'aretz, to recreate. Meaning Hashem created us and He wants us to create children. That's the mitzvah of a person in this world. And the same thing in our life. It's not just with having children, it's with our day. You didn't have a bad day, you didn't have a bad hour, you didn't have a bad minute, you just had a not the best perspective. Change your perspective and everything's gonna look great. Because sometimes we see life through our own two lenses. But Hashem sees the whole picture and He's organizing things systematically in a very specific divine way where things are happening, and sometimes we don't like the things that are happening to us. But we have to recognize it's not happening to us. It's not personal, it's happening for us, for our greater benefit and our greater good. That's why having an emunah and bitachon is knowing that not everything is going to be sunshine and rainbows. Sometimes things are going to be hard, sometimes things are going to be difficult, sometimes we're not going to be feeling it. But we have to remember in those moments that we have to react the right way. Reacting to a difficulty is not escaping and not going further down. Reacting to a difficulty is building up yourself slowly by making the right choices. Like we said, next time a difficulty arises, read Tehillim, talk to Hashem. Talk to Hashem in your own words. Go ahead.
Okay, how can a person like who doesn't really have like enough emunah and bitachon like come to the point where like you said, like you have to see things in a better way and change your perspective? So someone who doesn't have emunah and bitachon, like how can they like have more like faith and come to that conclusion if they don't have that like built up in them to come to see? Because it's very hard to change your perspective in a second and know that everything Hashem's planning everything. So how do you come to that point if you don't have that faith?
To understand that coming closer to Hashem is not going to happen overnight. And when the person starts coming closer to Hashem, you have to clean out all the things you know from now. I will even call it garbage, all the ideas and things that people placed upon you, and to understand that now I'm starting a new chapter. This new chapter is, I want to be close to Hashem. If I don't know what to say to Hashem when I talk to him, it's very simple. Hashem, this guy Jonathan told me to talk to you. I don't know what to say, but you showed up and you tried. And tomorrow you might have something to say. It's about doing your best from exactly where you're at. And to understand, again, you're starting a brand new chapter in your life. You're starting a journey of, I want to do this. I want to come close to Hashem. I want to organize classes. You guys are going to graduate soon. I want to make these next couple moments the best. I want to make memories and trips together with my friends. And to understand that this is a new journey. And part of taking that new journey is not to use the old hardwiring from the past, whatever you were taught in previously or when you were raised, to understand this is a brand new journey. I'm coming to this new chapter of my life with an open mind, with open to new ideas, new thoughts, and just instilling in myself godliness. And the more that I fill myself with godliness and Hashem and Kedusha and holiness, it's going to make me feel so good. It's going to fill me up so much. Make sense?
Yeah.
Love you. it's really in a sense very simple, because sometimes we're trying to solve new problems with old ideas. It's more so you're growing, and these new problems are not problems, they're obstacles. Not obstacles, opportunities for growth. Because when you overcome this with your new hardwiring, you get higher and you get higher. And that's why, like we were saying before, it's very unfortunate to just escape, because when you escape, you feel great and then you feel bad. You crash, and when you crash even more down. But the beauty of becoming more religious and developing a better relationship with Hashem is that when you build up slow, it's going to be really hard in the beginning. It's the beginning is always hard, but the end is always smooth and beautiful. When you start to build up slow, when you finally get to that high will never go down. So that same high that a person feels when they do something that's not the best for them, that same high you will feel constantly when you actually build and get there. And it's not going to take a day. It's not going to take a week. It's not going to take a month. Sometimes it won't even take a year. And I'm not saying that to discourage you. It's to understand that you're going to be in this world for a very long time, Bezrat Hashem. And you come into this world alone. You come in with your soul and you leave it alone. That's what the best relationship a person has to build is, the one with themselves. And that's when you come to marriage as a whole person, and that other person will be a whole person, and you come as an addition to each other. Not to be needy and codependent and trying to suck the other person because you're lacking yourself. No, to come to the marriage one day strong, and when you're strong, you'll be able to build a healthy, happy foundation. Bezrat Hashem. And any questions so far? Good. So now let's go into the topic of prayer. How do you say prayer in Hebrew? Tefillah. Anybody know the gematria of tefillah? Take out the calculator.
Four something more. Five something.
Yeah, five what? The gematria of tefillah is 515. Now, interestingly enough, if you break up the word tefillah, it's a taf, pei, yud, lamed, hey. Take out the yud and the hey, Hashem's name, put it to the side. Not to the side, God forbid, but take Hashem. Hashem's name is in the word tefillah. Now you have the taf. Taf in Hebrew, ta'aseh, tenaseh. Taf is a verb. It's an action word, meaning go do it. Taf is like pushing you. Pei and lamed, the shorish of the word pei and lamed is pilel. If you remember learning about this in school, what? Somebody's name?
No.
Oh, sorry. I heard something. Oh, bless you. So if you remember learning about it in school, Sarah Imenu wasn't able to have kids, right? So it says, mi pilel u mi milel. Who would have thought in a million years that Sarah would be able to have children? Right? What was the whole aspiration of that? Hope. A person cannot pray to Hashem if they don't believe that Hashem has the ability to carry out their will. And you see it also by Chana. Chana wasn't able to have children, and then she was stopped by Eliyahu Kohen in the Mishkan, and all the chest plates lit up on her chest. So listen to this. Tefillah has the gematria of 515. How many times did Moshe Rabbeinu have to pray to go into the land of Israel?
I'm guessing 115.
515, yeah. He prayed 515 times until finally he was stopped, because if he would have made one more prayer, Hashem would have let him in. That incident happened in Parashat Vayetchanan. Parashat Vayetchanan also has the gematria of 515. So you see here it's all connected. Moshe has prayer, 515, 515, Parashat, 515. Teaching a person a very important lesson. When you pray to Hashem, you have to get to a place where you believe that He can actually carry out your will. Because just to come to Hashem in a very dry sense and to open up your mouth and start saying things that you don't believe, God doesn't want that from you. God wants you to be honest. And if you don't believe, say, Hashem, I don't believe you could help me with this. I'm being straight. I don't believe you could help me. It's such a big thing in my life. And sometimes I have moments of ups and downs. And that's, by the way, Emunah and Bitachon 101. It's not like I teach you a halakha, you can't open a lay on Shabbat. You're going to know that halakha for the rest of your life. It's not like I'm teaching you halakha, how to make a netilah before you eat bread. You remember halachot. When it comes to emunah and bitachon, having a relationship with Hashem, it's a constant effort. After this class, after the Shabbat, your emunah and bitachon was through the roof, 100%. One day without learning about emunah and bitachon, it drops down to 90. Another day, 80. A week, 50. A month, a person's completely like doubting if God even exists. Teaching you that it's a relationship. And of course, how do you build a relationship practically? It's not always just about studying. Studying is amazing because you're learning about your Creator. When you come to this world, it says, Vida'ata, Vida'ata Yom. Hashem is commanding you, don't just believe in me blindly, like a sheep following the herd. No, know that I exist. Know that I can be there for you in your life. Know that I can help you. Know that I, Hashem, Ani Hashem, I created the world. And I can do anything. And thank you. And a person has to know that Hashem exists. A person has to know that Hashem can help him in their life. Learning Torah teaches us who God is, how powerful He is, how amazing He is, that He can bring you your soulmate right to your door. He can bring you your panasah without even having to work hard for it. Yes, it's true. Class for a different day. God can completely do everything for you in your life. After learning the Torah and knowing that information, now comes building the relationship, talking to Hashem throughout your day. And if you don't believe, start talking. The more that a person talks and breaks the ice with Hashem, the same way when you don't know someone, you start talking to them, you break the ice with the friend, with that person. Same thing with Hashem. Break the ice with Hashem. Talk to Him. Bring Him into your life. Give Him your problem. That's why they always teach in Shalom Bayit classes, if a husband comes home and he's not in the best mood, before he goes into his family and to see his wife and children, he should make a small Yid Boredu prayer. Because when you say, Hashem, I didn't have the best day right now at work. I tried to make a business deal. It didn't go well. Whatever it is. You don't want to come home and dump all those problems and difficulties onto your spouse. You want to be able to give the problem back up to Hashem and develop that relationship with Him. And through developing a relationship with Hashem, you bring Him into your world. You bring Him into your life. You allow Him to fill the space. Mm-hmm. It says in Masechet Sota, Daf Hei Amud Bet, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasot Ruach, En Ani Ve'Hu Yochalim Ladur Ba'Olam. In English, God is saying, any person that has ego, Ga'ava, a feeling of, I got this. Hashem says, me and him, we can't dwell in the same world. Because Hashem is saying, if you think you can do it without me, then where's my space to fill? And that's why the biggest issue with this generation is the iPhone, iPad. I can fix things. I can do it on my own. It's not true.
But isn't that like having confidence?
A million percent. But where's the confidence coming from? My abilities or the fact that God's with me through it? Because I cannot do it. A person has to come to a realization that I cannot fix anything if Hashem is not helping me. Actually bigger than that. Throw on Hashem the problem and He'll fix it. Sometimes in our lives we have relationships with people that are impossible to fix. That's because we think we could fix it. But when you give the problem to Hashem, say, Hashem, I can't do this, only you can do it. That's when Hashem can step in and say, you know what, I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to carry you through. If a person wants to make money and it's not working and they're trying to... Thank you so much. I appreciate it. When a person is trying to make money or go through life or even in school, you have tests, midterms, regents, exams, right? I was there. It's hard. When a person says, Hashem, it's not me, it's you, you give the power back to Hashem. Instead of trying to control things and control the outcome and control the circumstance and control your day and your life and how you want things to go, you say, Hashem, I want to go down your path. Because Hashem already has a predestined path for you. And it's so much more fun to live in God's land than to live in my land. Because when you live in my land, things are hell. They're chaotic. They're all over the place. When you say, Hashem, I wanna go down your path, and I'm just gonna do whatever I think is I'm gonna do. Because a person has to remember one very important thing. You're gonna go through the motions of the day. You wake up, you go to work, you feel upset, you feel sad, you're up, you're down, you drink a coffee, you go to lunch, you go to school, you go to work, you do your things. But to remember, the outcome is not in your hands. You can just do what's in front of you. But to remember that Hashem is ultimately the one that's guiding you and leading you and holding your hand through life. And that is the most beautiful thing that that person can understand if they really appreciate that. While the whole world is chasing and running and trying to accomplish and do and build, a Jew can really understand, I want to build something meaningful. And I want to live the best possible life that God saw for me to live.
Because Hashem... Why is it so hard? Like, if you want to change, why does it take so long? Why does it have to be so hard? Why can't it just be so quick?
Because if it was easy, it wouldn't be worth anything. Meaningful things are going to be hard to build. You ever go to a house and you walk in, you see that beautiful marriage and amazing kids and the husband.
Yeah. Shabbat, that's the one thing that inspired us the most.
I can guarantee you.
It's just so like cute, like I don't know, the religious
life. Nice. Baruch Hashem. I can guarantee you those couples went through hell to get there. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's a lot of work. And you're taking two different brains and putting them in a room, in a house, and like, go figure it out. You can't do it without Hashem. That's why it says in the Gemara, Masechet Kiddushin, if a husband or a wife curse at each other, God forbid, Hashem says, I leave, I'm out. Hashem left the chat.
No,
you can't have Shalom Bayit without God. I'm not trying to discourage anybody and say don't ever curse for the rest of your life, but we have to be aware of the truth and to try to.
You're saying like near your life or like at your life?
Near. Well, the Rambam says if a person curses, then Hashem is not going to listen to your tefillah. And
what do you mean by curse? What's curse?
Something
bad words,
a curse or something that we know is a curse.
A curse like cursing on someone, like not using actual
define what
words?
Curse means.
Like. The F word, I'm saying
like,
like a curse, yeah.
So if a person curses, then Hashem won't.
If a person, curses or says something that people know is a curse, like let's say Hazi case, it's not in the dictionary, but we in the Syrian community, we know we made up certain words like, I don't know, J-dub, whatever, all this stuff that's like a negative connotation that you're putting on a person. That is also considered like a curse in a way because it's something that's bad that's coming out of your mouth.
So saying I feel bad for someone is like a curse?
What?
No, but it's the same thing. Hazikis, like I feel bad for him. He's like Hazikis. Like, Hazikis, I feel bad.
Saying you feel bad for a person is almost like judging them. It's saying that it's almost a person saying like I.
That's so creepy.
Our teacher
said a lot
of things that we
learn.
Say Hazika to a person, like you're putting them more down.
I only said like three things that we learned.
No, I only spoke to him about Shabbaton. I'm not gonna say I swear, but I didn't speak to him about.
Is that bad also to say, oh, I swear or I promise?
Yeah. Wait, question.
Yeah, like if cursing in general, like you know how you say like, oh, I swear or like.
Yeah, bad thing. Don't do it.
So what do you say? What's like a word?
Tov li Torah picha me'afez zahav v'kasef. Hashem is saying that your mouth is so powerful. The same mouth, you know, if you look at a king, right? He opens up his mouth and the whole kingdom runs in his operation. What's he doing in his 9-to-5? Just talking. Same thing with a Jew. A Jew has to understand Hashem is my dad and I'm actually a prince or princess because I'm the son or daughter of a king. My mouth has a lot of power. The same mouth that can make someone feel horrible and lashon hara and I don't know, late phone calls till 3 a.m. talking about how could they say this about me? That same impact and pain that you feel was made. Where did it come from? A mouth. Words. Air. Why? Because your mouth has the ability to create. That's why I always tell people, don't just think Hashem, talk Hashem. Because when you speak, you create a vessel. A vessel can receive. Same thing in life. When you're speaking negatively about people or about yourself or about these things are actually going to happen. I wouldn't call it manifestation. I didn't do enough research about the topic of manifestation. And as of today, I don't believe there's such a thing called manifestation in Judaism. But what I do understand... What?
It works.
Would you manifest?
I'll tell you how...
My teacher manifested her whole life and it actually happened.
Manifesting...
Are you manifesting something?
Manifesting is the idea of if you think something and let it flow, it'll happen. I don't believe in that. What I believe, according to the Torah, is that if a person speaks something to existence, it'll actually happen. Because every time a person, let's say ayin hara, right? Ayin hara, in literally 30 seconds, doesn't exist. I'll explain. If you have to understand that you have the power. It's like in a relationship.
Yeah, we learned this also. You believe in it, like that's when it starts like happening.
Yeah, I remember, something like that.
If you believe in it, then it works.
Yeah, that's
my teacher manifested her whole.
Believe in it and speak it into existence. If a person says, "I'm gonna get married this year," with full confidence, and they don't know how the heck it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. Yeah.
She said who she's gonna. She said she's gonna marry Ramadan boy, move to Deal, and be in Milan. And that's what happened. And that's what she wants.
So it's true.
Teacher.
I don't know if it's. I don't know if it's manifesting. Like I said, manifesting is like a different.
Not manifesting, but she just thought about it and then it came to existence.
Do you know why? She opened the vessel and Hashem was able to fill the cup. 1 + 1 = 2. It's very simple.
Sure. So if I think something's gonna happen.
If you think positively and speak positive, pause something positive into existence, it's probably gonna happen.
Really?
It's like what? No, you're a Jew and you have a neshama yetera and you come from the Shechina.
Wait, but then that's manifesting.
Yeah,
that's manifesting.
Manifesting is a goyish concept. Meaning manifesting is like this...
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Manifesting is this sorcery idea where you think and it will come to you. In Judaism, it's the opposite. You have the ability to create as a Jew. Like we're talking before, creating a good mood in the day, knowing it's not a bad day, knowing everything is fine. Same idea here. When you react to all of your flawed thinking from the past 15 to 18, I'm 24 years, and try to solve a problem with that head, it's not going to work. Change the mindset, and then you're going to see everything's going to be fine. By the way, how do you say mindset in Hebrew? Machshava. Same letters as the word besimcha, happiness. Happiness is a mindset. Interesting piece. Just goes to show you that when a person thinks and speaks positively, this will happen in their life. Or a person can say, I'm so depressed, I'm so hazit, I'm so this. You're going to be, yeah, that's what's going to happen. You did it to yourself.
Machshava and what?
Machshava and besimcha have the same letters. You can write it down, I'll show you. Besimcha, machshava, mindset, happiness. Happiness is a mindset. Everybody like downloading? Downloading? It's a lot of information to process. It's okay. So everybody on the same page? Are there any questions? This is good. What are you guys thinking? So a person's mouth has the ability to create or destroy. That's what I was saying before in the Chafetz Chaim in Sefer Shemirat HaLashon, that a person's mouth has the ability to create, to destroy someone's image of themselves by making them feel bad and putting them down. That same mouth has the ability to create for the person to feel amazing. You know, just to make it personal for a second. Just to make it personal for a second, many of you guys have probably seen me online, right? The videos and the things. And you might think, looking outside, well, this guy's life is perfect. My life is the farthest thing from perfect. But how did I start? Very simple. I saw something. I like to say it like this. Sometimes when a person sees something great for themselves, like let's say you see, I can keep Shabbat one day and I can be tzniut. You see that image. That's like Hashem giving you like a moment of inspiration, showing you what your life could look like, but now you have to go put in the work, answering your question as to why things are so hard. You can envision it, but now it's like, okay, let's put in the work now, because it's not going to be easy. But it's almost like a catch-22, because it's hard to be a loser, and to be in bed all day, and to give up, and to not get married, and to just, you know, give up on life. It's also hard to be a winner. Life is hard. You just pick your heart. You want it to be hard to be sad and to be depressed and to be a loser, or you want it to be hard to win and to actually get somewhere and to accomplish things. You pick your heart. You pick your battles. But definitely, if you make the right choices, it's going to get you somewhere. When I was starting to make my content, interestingly enough, there wasn't really anybody around me supporting the idea. People thought I was crazy. You're going to interview rabbis, give classes, and you think you're out of your mind. But I believed in myself, and I spoke it into existence. I said, I'm going to make content, I'm going to do A, B, and C, and I'm going to expect X, Y, and Z. And I did it, and it happened, and I believed in it, and doors opened up for me. And I saw many times in my content creation the opposite. When I would try to like get a specific interview or a specific thing, it wouldn't work out. But when I would just give it to Hashem, like I had a whole fight with Isha Ribo and his managers, if you remember that. And there was a whole story where I was trying so hard, and the second I stopped trying, they literally took me, picked me up, said, you have 60 seconds, and it's just like Hashem did it. And I have many, many stories about that. If you guys want, probably we could talk about it, or a story for a different day. But like literally, like the recipe of my life is just believing in myself, but not like in the egotistical, like cocky way, more so believing in the potential that I believe Hashem has for me. And it's interesting because my bar mitzvah parasha is Baal Otcha. In parasha Baal Otcha is talking about Aharon lighting the Chanukah menorah, lighting up the world. So I believe my purpose in life is to light up the world, to inspire people, to make people feel good. And I believe in it, and I see it, and I just do it, and it just works. I'm following what I believe is my purpose in life. And anybody going to come and tell me you're right or validate me? I had many, many rabbis told me not to do it. And then when I started to become successful, those same rabbis came back and asked me for favors. So you just see it in life. Sometimes people that you think are so right and they're thinking and like, he's a rabbi, but how can he be wrong? Sometimes you have to listen to yourself and to say, you know what? If I want to go down this path and I'm doing the right thing, no reason Hashem would be upset at me. Like sometimes we're very hard on ourselves, especially here in Brooklyn. But like, no, you're a good person. Your mitzvot, the depth of your nature, you're a good person. You're all great girls. You're all going to have great lives. Just believe in it and stop letting people tell you otherwise. Literally, because sometimes when a person is like around negativity and you try to grow, the negativity tries to suck you back down because it doesn't want you to leave because then it's not going to have anything to leech off anymore. But no, when you're trying to get out, keep pushing, you're eventually going to break through the surface and your life's going to change. I can tell you that because my life changed. I live in Florida now, I have a great job, I have a great life, and I'm extremely happy. Was it easy? No. I've been in Florida for 6 months now, and moving on my own was hell. I slept in my car a couple of nights. I was living in an Airbnb. I was figuring things out. You know what happened? God designed for me the exact house where I want to live in, and now he's designing for me a nicer place, and he's designing for me a nicer job and more money-making opportunities. If I tell you how I don't make money, but if I tell you how Hashem gives me the money, it's so effortless. It's so, so effortless. And Hashem, please don't test me. But the point is that it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. But eventually, you're going to start to see the fruits of your labor. Proof, Birkata Mazon. Hazorim Bedima, Berina Yitzoro. Those who come and plant seeds with blood, sweat, hard work, and tears, eventually they're going to come. After 7 long years, and make a bracha. Bruchata Hashem, Elkam Yochalam, Borei Pri Ha'etz. Bite into the apple. It tastes so good. How is it possible? Because there was so much work that was put into it. Same thing in life. You put in the work. Eventually, you're going to come to see the fruits of your labor. And I'm not saying that I'm some uberly successful person. I'm only 24. I'm still in the middle of my journey. I'm still super, super young. But I'm telling you fact, I'm going to make it in life. However that's going to look, I don't know. But I know that I'm going to succeed. And if Hashem wants me to fail, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail fast and I'm going to fail often. I'm not going to get stuck on the failure. I'm going to keep moving forward. And that's really like just the idea that I want to share with you guys because you know, in society, we can give so much value and opinions to and weight to what people say, and we think we need people. We don't need anybody. Learn from Avraham Avinu. Avraham HaIvri. He was the opposite. The whole entire world was serving idols. And what did Avraham Avinu do? He went the other direction. You're going to serve idols? Nope. I'm going for Hashem. Lech lecha me'atzecha. Hashem, pick yourself up and go to Eretz Canaan. I'm doing it, Hashem. Let's go. Hashem tells him, sacrifice your son Yitzchak. Didn't even think for a second. He aligned his will with God's will. And it says in Pirkei Avot, Ya'aser kitzoni kirtzoncha, ve'ya'aser kirtzoncha kirtzono. Hashem says, if you align my will with your will, I'll align what you want with what I want. Hashem knows you have desires and wills. Hashem knows you want to be rich. Hashem knows you want to make money. Hashem knows you want to get married to a great guy one day. Hashem knows you want to pass your tests in school. Hashem knows you want to feel good. Hashem knows you want to feel better. Hashem knows you're not always so satisfied with your life. But what's God saying? Very simple trade-off. Align what I want with what you want. Meaning, take upon yourself Shabbat. Take upon yourself Tzniu if you can. It's hard. I know. It's the biggest test of a girl. And I don't know the test. I don't want to know the test. I'm so happy I was born a man. But it's a very difficult test. I can tell you just looking from what it says in the Torah and speaking to girls, understanding, it's a very, very difficult thing to do. But don't think it has to be perfect. Every inch counts. Every effort counts. And don't think, but I wear sweatpants sometimes. It's okay. Grow from where you're at. Don't think you have to be perfect. You wear sweatpants sometimes. You go out of your house sometimes in pants. No one's there to judge you. This is your relationship with Hashem between you and him and nobody else. And nobody could tell you otherwise. Because when the day comes that you do get there, you're going to appreciate it so much more. As opposed to being forced and pushed to get there, not from the right place, and doing it because you don't really want to do it. It has to align. I want to see in Am Yisrael happy women fulfilling mitzvot because they're really happy to do it. And that starts with yourself. Do it in a way that feels right. Come from a genuine place. I want to do it because I really feel like I want to do it. I want to hear this class. I want to come to this class. I want to listen to this shiur. I want to start listening to more kosher music. Not force yourself. Absolutely not. I don't approve that message. Do not force yourself to do it. Do it. It has to come from the right place, and it's going to take time. And remember, you come into this world for a very long time, and you have time to figure it out. I'm sure for those of you in the room who have, let's say, more religious parents, I'm sure they could tell you that they used to wear pants or they used to go out clubs. I literally have a friend who who he's married now with two kids, and he told me when he was starting to become more religious, before he met his wife, he would still go out to the club with his boys, and he would still drink and smoke sometimes. But he had well.
Not everyone, not all.
I remember I have a friend who's married now with two kids. I approve this message. just to explain how practical it is. I have a friend that he's married now with kids, and he told his friends that when he goes out to the club with them, just like to be, you know, friendly and to be nice and not to reject the offer. He said one thing: don't push me to do A, B, and C. I don't want to do that. I'm here with the boys, but I'm leaving afterwards. And that was his small effort to come closer to Hashem. Hashem exists even to the difficult. We sometimes think that, no, Hashem's not there. When I go to hang out with this guy, you know, speaking as a girl, right? Or when I go do this thing that I shouldn't do, God disappears for like the next 3, 4... No, it's not. Hashem's there with you. Sometimes Hashem is mechaseh your dad. He takes away your intellect because he wants you to fall. Why? To learn the lesson, to get back up stronger. Don't feel hard on yourself. Accept yourself as you are. The ups, the downs, the full package, like we were talking about dating. The same thing when you're coming into a marriage. Accept yourself, be yourself, and don't feel shy to shy away from that. Be you, and what's going to come into your life is only good, and that's how you're going to live your true purpose, your true life, and to become a contributing person to your community and to your life and to your family, and for people to really be proud of you. And sometimes you're going to make crazy decisions that people are not always going to agree with, but if you feel like it's the right thing to do and it aligns with what Hashem wants, then go for it full force. And I think that really wraps it up. I mean, is there any questions? Yeah.
Okay, you know how you said like Hashem wants us to fall sometimes? Like, does that take away from free will, or is that like?
It means that it doesn't take away from free will. It's more so we have a choice, mm-hmm. and if we really fight with it and we end up falling, even that fall was meant to happen. There's a proof. There's a pasuk. The whole purpose of the fall was to get back up, because sometimes Hashem wants to see it. When he falls, what's he gonna do? Is he gonna stay on the floor and make it all about himself? Or is he going to say, you know what, I fell, it's a part of my growth journey, and now I can make a decision. I want to stay here, or I want to get back right back on track. And you'd be surprised. Rabbis fall, people fall, everyone falls. Everyone falls every single day. No one's perfect. The idea is not to be perfect. The idea is to do your best and to have your best effort. Like the story with Rav Steinemann. The fact that the guy was thinking about keeping Shabbat was already so huge. He was putting in the effort to think. It's already a massive thing. Thinking about wanting to be better, thinking about wanting to live a more firm life and being closer to Hashem, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. And you guys are going to see on your journey, the closer you get to Hashem, the more inspiration, the more positivity, the more fulfillment you're going to start to see in your life, because that's really what it's all about. The closer we get to Hashem, the farther we get from everything else, because we're coming closer to so much light and positivity and inspiration and love and Shekhinah. Yeah.
Isn't it also when you become closer to Hashem, your Yetzer Hara becomes stronger?
100 million percent.
So why, when I'm trying to become more religious, but my Yetzer Hara is stronger?
Because you're getting stronger to handle the test now. By the way, interesting idea about Yetzer Hara. Hara comes from the word, Ra'as comes from the word Re'eh, a friend. So the Yetzer Hara is actually a person's greatest friend. For example, let's say a guy is walking on the street, and his Yetzer Hara tells him to look at a girl. Really, the Yetzer Hara is telling him to get married, because he has a mitzvah to fulfill. But the Yetzer Hara is so clever that he'll tell you the right thing to do and will misinterpret it. Like I was saying before, this is what I wanted to say. When you give the right meaning to your feelings, you will hence feel the proper feeling. Meaning, if a person feels sadness, they're giving meaning to that feeling. The meaning is, it's about me, I'm sad, I want to escape. You're giving the feeling the wrong meaning. The proper meaning to give to the feeling of your soul is that when you feel sadness, now get closer to Hashem. That's giving it the right meaning. Because the same way the body has to eat and drink and take care of itself, the soul also needs food and drink. The food and drink of the soul is the Torah Kedusha. That's the food and drink of the soul. The more that you give your soul what it needs, it'll give you back in return. You're going to start to feel good, and your days will be brighter, and you'll wake up in the morning and feel happy, and etc. And to answer your question about growing and going with the Yetzer Hara, that's the beauty of it. The more that you grow, it grows with you, pushing you to get stronger and stronger and stronger, and to get greater and greater and greater, and to put in the inner work. And when you put in the work inside, you're going to be a light for the people around you. You're going to walk into a room and people are going to say, wow, you're shining, you're glowing. Yeah, literally, because your soul is glowing. It's not the skincare routine, it's the soul. It's pushing out. Any other questions, or should we wrap up? Okay. Yeah. I think it's a lot. A good amount of information for tonight. But yeah, just to really wrap up on the mouth thing, it's so important to understand how powerful our mouths are. Your mouth has so much power. It's so important to remember that same mouth that can destroy and ruin a person and make them feel horrible about themselves. Like, remember, compliments are free. It doesn't cost anything. It's hard inside to do it because of what it's going to actually accomplish. That resistance that you're feeling to give a person the compliment is because of how much good it's creating in the world. Oh, this is what I wanted to say. When you speak, you create a vessel. And to answer the manifestation question, when you speak, angels come and listen to what you say. Yetzara is only true if you give it power to exist. So if a person buys, let's say, a brand new Mercedes and someone says, oh, nice car. If you say, thank you, I worked so hard for it, the malachim say, oh, he took the credit. As opposed to saying, Chazdei Hashem, thank you Hashem, you give the credit back to Hashem, then they can't touch you. So Yetzirah only exists, Ayin Hara only exists if you give it power to exist. Because teaching a person that a Jew has so much power to create through their mouth, through their belief system. So if a person believes, like, you have to sometimes go out of the norm. I want to be uberly successful, and no one around me is going to think the same way. But if you believe in it and speak it into existence and pray for it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. And sometimes, you know, it says in the Gemara, kola docheket hasha'a, hasha'a docheket oto. Anyone who pushes the hour is going to push them back. Because sometimes it's not the right time for a person to receive. Sometimes you could have a guy or a girl, they're later in their life, 29, 30, why am I not getting married? All my friends are married, they have kids. Where's your emunah, buddy? It's not your time yet. It's not your time yet. And you see that when these same people change their attitude, they change their perspective, and they say Hashem is going to come at the right time, it usually comes right away. Because sometimes the whole purpose of the difficulty in our life is for Hashem to hear your voice. Hashem wants to hear you. And it's going to keep getting harder and harder and harder until you just talk. Just talk. That's why a person says ow when they stub their toe. It's the pain is so high that you go into bittul, you go into cancellation. You stub your toe, ow, because the pain was so hard that it pushed a scream out of you. Same thing with the relationship with God. You have to get to a place where you completely nullify yourself, you cancel yourself out, and you say, Hashem, I want what you want. I want what you want. I'm gonna live my life with humility. I can't do anything. It's all you, Hashem. That's the best place to go. Higher than that is gratitude. Mizmor Todah. 13 times a day. Try to do that. Chapter Kuf of Tehillim. Mizmor Todah is a song of gratitude to Hashem, saying thank you to Hashem. Why? Because when the person ever hears the Nishma Kol Chai, it became like a challenge. 40 days Nishma Kol Chai. Why do people say Nishma Kol Chai to get married? Anybody know? Why does it work? Why is it a skula?
Because it can change the
Yes, exactly. Nishma Kol Chai is a song of gratitude to Hashem. It's not easy to think about the creator of the world and to tell him thank you for my life. But when you break your nature and say thank you to Hashem, Hashem, measure for measure, breaks his nature and says, I'm going to give you your soulmate, or I'm going to give you what you're looking for. The way God runs the world is measure for measure. God is honest, he's fair, he's meduyak, he's how do you say in English? He's precise, specific, measure for measure. If a person breaks their nature for me and thanks me, I'm going to break my nature for them. And the highest level a person can get to is to live a life of thankfulness and gratitude, a life of thanksgiving. Always, not the turkey holiday, like actually always living in thank you to Hashem. When a person lives in the state of constant thank you to Hashem and meaning it, saying Mizmor Todah 13 times, keneged the gematria of ahava, love, showing Hashem that I thank you and I love you, and you get to that level, which is possible. It's possible to get to a level where you actually thank and live with Hashem all day. That's the best place to be. Then your energy is so good, it's so chill, you're vibrating, everything's coming to you, life is so effortless, every room you walk into, you light it up, people want to be around you, people want to be your friend, everything is just coming to you naturally, business deals close, job opportunities come, every guy wants to go out with you, gets your resume, goes crazy, it all comes from one simple thing, bringing yourself to a higher consciousness, aka getting closer to Hashem. When you get closer to Hashem, it's psychological and spiritual. It goes hand in hand. It's really, really beautiful. I could do a whole class just talking about how we perceive things and interpret things, but really it's all coming from the soul. And learning how to live in this world really on a spiritual basis, understanding that everything we experience in our mind is really coming from the soul. Proof of it is if you go to a dead body and touch it, it's not going to respond unless it's alive, right? What's the proof? The soul gives the body life. When the soul is in the body is alive. So all the things that we feel is coming from the soul. And Bezrat Hashem, we shall all continue to grow and to understand these things and to understand that Hashem gave us the Torah. Torah stems from the word, the Shorash is Hora'ah, instructions. Hashem didn't leave you in this world to do it on your own. He gave you an instruction manual. Follow the instructions and have a great life. And live a life of gratitude and joy and happiness and serenity and peace and calmness and being able to go throughout your day with happy, being happy and smiling ear to ear. And that's really my blessing if I can even give one to you guys. And Hashem, please don't test me. B'ezrat Hashem, you should all be able to continue to give classes every week, I think, right? Giving classes every week and inspiring each other and loving each other and making say, no, Benor HaChaz to be the best school in Brooklyn. No Lashon Hara here, no gossip. We're all going to be friends with each other. And to come into class every day and to be happy and to enjoy every moment. I wish I was in high school again, maybe a different high school, but not the point. Enjoy these moments. Enjoy the Shabbatons with your teachers. Enjoy the moments with your friends. Enjoy every single moment of your day. Enjoy the fact that you have to study for a test and you're learning. You know, it's not like, I have stress, I have a test, it's due soon. Enjoy the learning. Make it fun. Why don't you girls, you know, go to a library, Starbucks, meet up, get coffee, make it fun, make it enjoyable, make study sessions together, and reward yourself, watch a movie after, you know, like make this part of your life the most fun part of your life. Enjoy each other. Purim's coming up soon. Make nice mishloach manot designs. Make a Purim party with each other. You know, like, right? Come on, girls. This is the best part of your life. Enjoy it. Instead of reacting to what's happening outside and answering, you know, retards on Snapchat, delete the app and start to focus on each other. Just to keep it real, you know. Instead of looking for happiness outside of yourself, you know. I'll end with this. Hashem put it in my mind. It's amazing. Everyone's looking for the state of happiness. Some go to Brooklyn, some go to Deal, some go to Miami, South Beach, DJ Khaled, Pop Smoke, he died. Happiness is a state of mind. Proof. There was once a yeshiva bacher. He went to his Rosh Yeshiva and he asked him, Rebbe, if you look on New Year's Eve, all these people in the city, they're so happy. All the goyim, you know, and sometimes even Jews, they're unfortunately, they're dancing and they're raving and they're having so much fun. I've been in yeshiva my whole life, and in the best kumtits of the year, on Purim, I didn't even look like I was having that much fun. After my 12-hour seder, I still didn't feel like I was having that much fun. How is it possible? And the Rosh Yeshiva gave him a very powerful answer. If you take a fish out of the water, what does it do? It starts shaking and going crazy, extreme. Why? Because it's dying. It's dying slowly. Same thing with these people. They're jumping and they're raving and they look like they're having fun, but really they're dying inside. And it's an expression of what's, it's a reflection of what's going on the inside. A happy person, this Tehillim, you can get it in Makor Judaica for maybe $20, $30. Happiness is here, inside. When you're happy, you're calm, you're content, you're going through your day, you don't need to show off, you don't need to buy nice things to show off to people. Buy nice things, I approve that message, but why are you buying nice things? It's not about what you're doing, it's about what's the motive behind it. You want attention from people, you want to suck, you want to be a leech, or you want to be a pillar for growth. You want to be an inspiration to the people around you. Happiness is here. If you're looking for happiness outside, if you're looking to feel good outside, you're not going to find it. Happiness is peace of mind. Happiness is being able to be exactly where you are and being able to feel amazing inside. Thank you guys so much for coming. You should all be able to grow and to have amazing lives and to do weekly classes and to Rav Hashem, meet your other half at the right time and to spend your time wisely to enjoy this time period of your life and really all the blessings onto you. I'm so proud of you, Sarah. You know, I'm gonna get emotional, but not today. Yeah. I'm really proud of you. I know I haven't been home for a while, but it makes me so happy to see that you're growing and you're doing this. And I'm so proud of all of you for making this happen. And really, you guys should continue to grow. And I really wish you all nothing but the best. And hopefully, I'll be back soon if it's meant to be. And really, just remember one thing. A person who invests in the will of Hashem cannot lose. Ask yourself in life, next time something happens, what does Hashem want me to do? It's going to be hard to do. Hashem wants me to do it. If a person invests in the will of Hashem in every single measure and circumstance, you cannot lose. My name is Jonathan Ben Shimol, and I prove this message.